talking about the Ben Cousins situation is how we started this conversation about, obviously he's a drug addict. Now he's gone inside. And a lot of people here at work were discussing the other day, sort of saying, well, isn't that the worst place for a drug addict to go? So in other words, our prisons are rife with drugs. How does that happen?
That's unbelievable if it's true, and all the information suggests that it is, but we've thrown it out there and wanting to know if anyone knows anything about it. We've got an anonymous call here. Good morning, Anonymous.
How you going, boys?
Good, thanks, good. Mate.
What can you tell us?
A mate of mine services the washing machines in prisons in South Australia.
Yeah.
And when you go in to service the machines, the only thing they check is the tools you're taking with you, so they just count how many tools you come in with and how many you come out with.
Really?
What? So what, he could have whatever he wanted to on him?
Pretty much, yeah.
And he comes in contact with prisoners, does he? Or he could?
Well, it depends on your level of clearance. So he has a certain clearance where he has to have a screw with him, but there's one after that where you can walk around with no screw with you.
So as long as you get to the point where you can walk around with no one with you, then therefore an opportunity to be... taking drugs into prisons.
So then it raises the question. We've had one other caller who didn't want to go to air, but garbage trucks visit 3 days a week. Mm. And by the way, I'm not pointing the finger at the garbos. I'm just saying this is an example. So you've got a washing machine man, you've got garbos, probably plumbers come in. There are all sorts of trades and people that would come in and out. So if they're only checked for their tools, then I suppose there are many opportunities to say, hey, I'll leave it in the washing machine room.
Let's take another call here. It's anonymous number two.
G'day, how are you?
Good, yeah, buddy.
Good. What can you tell us?
I spent a couple of years inside and actually saw it firsthand how they got it in.
Ah, okay. What can you tell us?
On one occasion, well, there was one young fella, his mum used to come and visit him. And in the visit room, she'd give him a very large, passionate kiss and pop it in his mouth and he'd swallow it.
Now, just on that, I maybe this is just what we see on TV and movies and things, but I always thought, aren't they told to open their mouth and they check all around and under their tongue and all of that sort of thing? Does that not happen?
Yeah, it does, but they have, especially women, without being too crass, have areas where they can hide things without being detected.
All right, so they could get checked and then... do what they need to do
afterwards. Regurgitated or something? Is that what you're
saying? Visitors don't get strip searched necessarily. They get patted down and things like that. So they can have things hidden in all sorts of places. The checks aren't that stringent for the visitors. So the criminals are, but what happens is they swallow it and then go back to the cell and regurgitate it. And if they don't, they have to wait for a few days and are on notice until it comes out.
Mm. While I've got you, I hope you don't mind me asking, because we don't always talk to people that have been inside or have this experience. Yep. How would you describe your time in there, your experience? Is it a bad enough deterrent? Like, is it made you think, I'm never, ever setting foot in there again?
Me personally, absolutely.
Yeah.
But these young people that unfortunately have grown up in that environment that don't know any better, don't have the support and don't have the things in place to give them anything, any better option when they get out.
Yeah, right.
What percentage of people inside jails would take drugs quite often?
Quite a lot. It's
50%?
It'd be more than that.
More than that?
I reckon it would be. It's not a nice place. So,
what sort of drugs do they get access to in there?
Anything you want.
Absolutely anything.
So... I guess we've got to be careful how we put this, but you would know where to go and who to speak to, obviously, inside if you wanted anything.
And do you speak to prisoners or do you speak to guards or how do they do it?
You know the certain people that are running what they're running, but you put yourself at severe risk by making contact with those sorts of people because once you're in with them,
you're in.
You know, you're tied to them and then you can't really get away. And the things you do see on TV is reality. I mean, people think it's a pretty easy way to live in there, but it's not really.
No.
Was it a scary existence?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I was cacking my dacks every day. It's not a nice place.
No.
All right. Look,
be.
Thanks so much for ringing in. We really appreciate it. We wanted to learn and that was terrific, actually, that call. Rue, you said 50%. He's saying a heck of a lot more than that. Now, how does it get
to
that?
Who runs prisons?
Government.
Do the government? I know the government own them. Do they actually oversee day-to-day operations of it?
A few years ago, they farmed out the transport of prisoners to a private company, And some of that ended in disaster as well. There were a lot of escapes, but they did actually give it out to a private security company. But I think prison services come under, I mean, there's a minister for, you know, corrective services, isn't there?
Yeah, Peter Malinowskis.
So it comes under, it comes under a government.
That is unbelievable. And
but it's not, you know, you can't say it's us here. It's every prison in the world. I mean, this is, you know, it's not unique to us.
You'd think, though, if you really wanted to stop it, you could get pretty close, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I just wonder about that. That's really strange hearing that.
Yep, it is. So maybe it's not a great place
hearing
for Benny to go.
Hearing how simple it is.
Unless he wants to get off it.